Namaste and welcome to the Living India podcast by Purvi Shah Paulini. On business topics and global events in connection with spirituality. Integral and sustainable change means to integrate this aspect on a deeper level as well. Because knowing people means knowing business. Welcome back to our wisdom workshop. Hello, Julia.
Nice. Hi, Purvi.
Hi. And today, we are turning around a little bit and you will start the session today, please.
Yes, and I would like to start the session with something today with which I personally start into every morning. What I repeat during the day, often before my work day, sometimes even before my clients, and sometimes also in between the tasks I do. It is called consecration. And it basically means that I dedicate or offer the actions that I take and the fruits, which are the results from these actions, to something which is of greater importance, to the divine, to the whole, or to what some might call God, others call Shiva or Allah or the universe. So whoever we believe in as the creator of all things, I basically ask the divine to act through me. Consecration supports me on a daily basis to clarify that the things that I do are not only done by me as individual, that they are rather happening through me, intended by something which is greater. And I shall always be humble and grateful that I am being that person who can witness this magic which is happening around me every day. So when I do the consecration, I hold still until I receive an answer from the divine or the greater spirit, which might feel as if my heart opens up and becomes a new quality of boundarylessness, or like a warm shower of energy which shivers from my crown all the way through the back of my spine down to the sacral joint. So in the following, I like to invite you all to do the consecration with me and to dedicate our heart, mind, body, and soul to the divine, whatever you want to call the divine. So everybody of the audience who would not like to participate in that can now go a little bit further on, and everybody else may stay with us. And if you decide to participate, make your decision with a conscious state of being, with clear willingness and with affection. So you may sit and you may close your eyes. Take some breaths and allow the air to enter your whole body, and allow to let go of what is holding you back while you exhale. Focus inwards on the center of your chest and try to feel any sensation there is at the bottom of your sternum, and connect this energy of your heart center with the crown, which is on the top of your head. Feel the soft space around you, which becomes lighter with each breath you take. And I will now speak my words of consecration, and then I will stay silent for a while, and you may indulge the words and wait until you receive what you believe might be the answer. I will use the term divine, and you can choose your own greater spirit, God, Allah, Shiva, whatever you believe in. May I consecrate all of my actions to the divine. May the results of my actions of today be owned by the divine. May all of the actions I take today be done by the divine through me. May the divine energy flow through me and be present within me.
Thank you.
Whenever you're ready, Purvi, you may open your eyes. Did you feel the shower?
Yes, I really felt it. And you made it very nicely. Thank you very much. And I actually forgot to say what the headline of this chapter is today. It's the chapter 8. It's the leadership with or from the soul. We are talking about this theory today. So thank you very much for this wonderful introduction into the meditation, which is quite common in many corporates even today. And I think we can use that more often in order to become empty before we start working. And I would like to start with a little bit longer quote today, if we talk about the theory of leadership with or from the soul, by Deepak Chopra. It is said that, or he says that, awareness ultimately has no boundaries. It exists in this world, but endlessly goes beyond it. The world's great wisdom traditions all derive from a higher reality that is indescribable, but can be experienced. This is the greatest wonder and source of all. As the ancient Indian sages declare, this isn't knowledge that you learn, it's knowledge that you become. When you fully absorb this insight, you know what it means to transcend. You don't need to travel anywhere. All of reality exists in you. You exemplify wholeness because you are united with everything and everyone around you. You exist to demonstrate that human beings can reach the infinite. And by simply being who you are, you help others to get there. And I think that was a wonderful introduction by you, Julia. So what does it mean for you to lead from the soul? Do you have an idea about that?
Actually, leading from the soul doesn't need any words.
But it has a great impact on that, how we react or act in daily life.
Basically, I believe that we're very mind-driven in our human beingness, in our human society. And the mind is always striving for more knowledge. It's striving for purpose and all of that. And so in this very mind-driven world, we are being expected to be someone we expect things to happen. And I think the soul has no expectations. And in these means, the world we live in is the world we create as the creators of the world, and at the same time we are created by a creator who created us. So at the same time, when we create the world we live in, we are becoming the creations of the world we create. This is what has happened along the way. The soul is not so noisy, let's say, as the mind is. And the body also is noisier than the soul, but we sort of try to control it with our minds. So the mind actually is the strongest of the three, if I just talk about these three, which are all living within us and sort of being maybe interdependent of each other. And so I think that there is an imbalance between body, mind, and soul, and that the soul is even doing this quite, is being this quiet leader. And it is, I think, very important that we allow this quiet part of us to be heard again. So yeah, this is maybe what I can now say about leadership by soul. It means like leading quietly, leading from a position where we are really not, which is not so tangible as mind is.
I think you named quite important terms. There's first of all purpose, which is seems to be a buzzword in nowadays, that everyone, even corporates, are running for purpose, which is on one hand good, but I have the feeling that sometimes if we just talk about purpose without being connected, it makes a little bit difficult to find the real purpose. And I would like to build up also this podcast or this video on some assumptions, because I think that our systems are built on assumptions, and these systems have led us to there where we are today. I've struggled to understand quite often why some leaders are afraid or really sometimes refuse to grow deep emotional connections to empower their team. And I sometimes realize it's also because they're not connected to themselves. Mm-hmm. And before you try managing others, and I don't want to discuss this term here, I didn't find a better word right now, because when you are a team leader in a certain level, you do manage, or you believe you manage others, yeah? It is important to become the manager of one's own life, or the other way around. And I always say, don't misuse others to heal yourself. This is also something which I think I observe very often, that even in interpersonal relationships, independently if it's business or privately, we've talked about emotional hygiene, which comes here also into action, is one of a very important term. And I've today I got a slide. Hope you can see this.
Yes.
Yeah. In the Ayurvedic science, let's call it science or psychology, or even in many other sciences, you can see that even in Buddhism, if you look at the partition, let's call it partition, we need it from that, to look at it that way. How is the psychology of a person and the spirit divided? So in order to make the audience understand how we define our terms, you can see here that there are three partitions of the spirit. We have the outer spirit, of which we have spoken very often in the last podcast. We have also touched the other areas. But today we have started from the inner spirit, to get from the outer spirit to the middle area of the spirit into the, maybe, I don't know how many people could reach that area of this really, really true self of the inner spirit in this short time, but it is possible if you practice it regularly. To see that there are three parts. We have the outer spirit, the middle area of the spirit, and the inner spirit. And when we speak about intellect, we speak of the outer part of our spirit. So you see also very much close to the intellect is our ego. We have Sanskrit word. It is the ego is ahamkara, and the intellect is the manas. And then it is very interesting to see that through our organs of perception, that is touching, smelling, hearing, seeing, tasting, and of course our thoughts are also considered as the organs, we do react. And through our reactions, we do our actions. And the art in the whole thing is actually also what the Buddhism prays, and even the old ancient Christianity says, when you meditate or contemplate, is stop reacting. Yeah. And if we get in touch with our inner part of the spirit and get in touch with our soul, what we're saying, the soul is defined as the existence as immortal essence, we have a total different way of maybe acting while reacting. So it is, seems to be very complex, but having gone through this once and implementing this also in the daily life, for example, a meditation practice, gives us the possibility to connect ourselves with the soul, which is considered to be immortal in these old sciences and wisdoms. And once experiencing that, it is about not knowledge from the mind. That is exactly what we all do. We always read books and say, I know everything. But how much do we really experience? That is the question. And I think with this introduction where you led us through this very short meditation, Julia, I think this helps us or many people to get connected to oneself and understand that everything is fine and we all are actually protected. And then to come out and say, okay, with this protection, I can act totally differently. What do you think about that?
I sometimes try to explain my clients when they are very emotional, when they are reacting on life, which is surrounding them, on all the stress, and when they sort of have all this mess around them and can hardly cope, they do not understand what it means to go back and to go within and to sit, because the moment they are not reacting, they have the feeling they are missing out on something. So this staying outside seems to be important for our survival, or for the survival of my clients. And when I allow them the idea of them sitting on a tree, on a branch of a tree, watching themselves acting and watching themselves being emotional, then they get a kind of an idea of how it is to watch themselves like in the scene of a movie. So, and in this moment, they start realizing there's something else besides reacting. And so I think this is like what we call meta position in coaching. I try to allow them to watch themselves doing and to become aware of everything which is then around it, because then they're not so stuck in this activity anymore. Actually, it's going within, but at the same time, it feels like, you know, broadening up our view. And at the same time, if they understand that, I try to make it bigger and watching ourselves while we watch ourselves doing, you know. So go a little bit higher, go on the next branch of a tree, or go into the sky and sit on a cloud and watch yourself sitting on the tree, watching yourself acting. And in the end, making my clients understand that the moment they act is the same moment they are watching themselves acting, and they are watching themselves acting. So all of a sudden, we become the one who is aware of what we are doing, and it is being done through us. And then I think there is the possibility of connecting this inner true self with the outer self, with whatever is in between, if it's, you know, like the middle area of the spirit or anything else. But we are connected then with ourselves, and we are connected with the others around us. And I think this is, how I would explain this model if I talk to clients.
Yeah, you named a second word, which is very important, even especially for the future. If you look at what skills are demanded in future from people working in different positions, and you named the word creation very often. So it's creativity is one of the most important skills we need in future in order to survive also on this planet. And now if we look at the solutions we have developed centuries ago, decades ago, who led to where we are today, which is also a wonderful position. I don't want to say that everything is bad. We have created wonderful things, yeah? When creating plastic, for example, it was one of the most convenient thing we could create. But this solution is today a problem, yeah? So my wish, for example, is to create solutions for the future which do not become a problem in the future, that will sustain in a way where we say, okay, we don't have the next problem that makes us extinct, maybe in a faster path than we already do today. So creation comes from within. And if we think that our ego, I really assume that many people do think that creativity comes from, yeah, I have an idea, it comes from here, and that's it. But if you look deep inside yourself and get connected to yourself, creation, where do you create? It comes from very much deep within your, when you do vision workshops and everything, you get connected to yourself and say, why am I part of this organization? Why am I part of this wisdom workshop? Why am I doing that? Yeah. And this gives the purpose. I mean, we all live in a value system, values which are very important to us, where we grew up, which our parents gave us, our societies we live in, our friends who surround us do also have an influence on our values and our value system. And when we change that, why does it come? Why does that happen? Of course, maybe through outer incidences. It could, of course, it happens, that change happens. But what happens within you, that happens here. And it's very interesting to see here this arrow, to see that actually the consciousness is covering the all three layers of spirit. That is interesting to see. It is present in the outer spirit, it is present in the middle spirit, and it is always present in the inner spirit. So, and I go one more beyond, even the soul and the consciousness is always there, even when our bodies, our material bodies die. That's where I very much believe in. That's also my upbringing to a certain extent.
Well, yeah, it's like the story I always like to say. Our souls choose a body like we choose clothes every day when we get up and start our day. And the soul chooses our body, our life, our mind. So, yeah.
I didn't prepare anything for this workshop. I just did this and it just comes and it's a flow, you know. So that's interesting to see that not everything has to be prepared. When you are really centered and you are there without distraction and no thoughts and just concentrating, the flow comes, and it proves me more and more every day, because I try to practice that also every day, you know, to be conscious, not to be left, not to be right. Whenever I do one task, and if it's the bookkeeping and the accounting, I just concentrate on that, even if I hate it, you know, but just do it.
Yeah. It's yes. And the beautiful thing is about the consecration I did in the beginning, it is exactly that, because I understand when I do so that the things I do every day in the praxis and the magic that happens there is not done by me, you know, and then the ego is sort of not there. And then the creativity working on the body, and when you talk about creativity, it's just happening as if by itself. And it's me and the client merging somehow. It's the client merging his body with his mind, with his soul, and creating their own well-being and their own story. So it's creativity just beyond mind. And when they go out, of course, then they are in their mind again, and then we are in the outside world again. We have to put on our clothes, go back to daily life, and then of course our minds needs to be aware. But our soul is also much more aware, and it's much more connected. And then we also, if we are connected much more to ourselves, we also are connected much more to the outside world. And I think also my writing, it's also always comes. It just comes. And it's not something that I think must be done. And if we all can do our work just because our work is what we want to do from our deep within, then maybe also we are not so stressed anymore, and we do not have so much struggle anymore as human being.
Yes. And to go also one step further, is another skill which is very much important for the future is interconnectedness. This is done by very renowned research and companies and institutes. And one of that was, there were nine, and one of that was really interconnectedness and human relation related jobs are very. So when I connect with others, when I'm a leader and I have to lead a team, even the definition of a team leader is going to change. Yeah. Because we have a paradigm shift in many, many levels. The question here again is, how can I connect to others if I'm not connected to myself? And if I don't practice this, I will not be able to connect to a deeper level in order to create something that doesn't create problems in the future, that creates solutions which are sustainable even for the future. So for me, it is so logical to say, first connect to yourself and practice that on daily basis or regularly. Even I'm not doing it on daily, I'm not a saint, for sure not, but I do practice that regularly. And the actual meditation takes place on a daily basis while working and living your life. It doesn't take place on the pillow. I think this is also very important that the audience understand that, because I believe that our brain is nothing else than just a big muscle that needs to be trained. Yeah, we go to the gym and practice and try to build up our body. So even it's the same thing with the brain. And doing that on a regular basis will have an impact on our way of thinking, on our connecting to ourselves, to our soul. And then to understand what oneness means, and then coming out of this oneness into the daily life and say, okay, how can I create something new in this world in being, while being connected?
Last time we had this conversation on consciousness development and on putting ourselves into the shoes of others. And I remember that we have said that it is that we can only do so if we also can first go into our own shoes, you know, and really understand who we really are. And that's, I mean, we just come back to the same notion.
Yeah, but I think everything we speak about will always lead to the one thing, yeah? But there are always different aspects from which we look at and then get back to that, what we actually really want to say. And today we spoke about the soul, or we're speaking about the soul, which is present on a daily basis, even when we sleep in the night, it's always there. And to experience that. And I think this is also very important for the audience to understand it. It is no matter, that's also what you did in the meditation in the beginning, either you call it Allah, you call it Krishna, you call it Brahman, you call it Jesus, whatever you want to call. It's neutral. It is free from religion. That is very important also to understand, that spirituality exists in all religions. That is, religion was put on as a label, but at the ground we have spirituality, which has nothing to do with esoteric. This is always very often mixed up. For me, it is important to convey this message also, that the question, why are leaders so afraid of connecting to themselves, is very often I see that, I hear that I'm afraid of that, what might come. I always say that, but you are protected. And secondly, connecting to yourself has nothing to do with esoteric. It has to do with something with you, with your being, and maybe be a better version of yourself. I don't know if that was the right term, but to practice that on a regular basis makes a difference to you, to yourself in the beginning.
Maybe being a more connected
self. Yes. Or yeah, something. Yeah, I think it's better. Better version means that I'm not good today and I have to be better. That's why I was also not very happy with this declaration or this definition. So I think, yeah, to become more connected to yourself.
My favorite word actually has been since years, reconciliation. And I think we need to reconcile with ourselves in terms of body, mind, and soul, with the others around us and with the world. And I would like to have this as my last word today. Reconciliation.
Reconciliation. So let us keep this as your last, as our last word. I think that is a wonderful closing for today. And I thank you very much for your time again. To be with you is always very, very inspiring, Julia. And
a pleasure
for being here. And I'm looking forward with you for the next wisdom workshop. See you.
Awesome.
Bye.
Bye.